Hill Haley Show, and I'm excited first to welcome my co-host, Sherry from Storehouse Media Group. How are you? I know you're excited about our guest, and you know, it's exciting always to talk to an innovator, and I look at him as a tremendous innovator, as a parent, but also innovator in the political world. Go ahead and introduce our guest, Sherry.
I would love to. I look at him as passionate. I'm so happy to tell everyone that we have Luis A. Miranda Jr. on our show today. And welcome, Luis.
Thank you very much, Sherry and Neil. Thank you for having me in your show. It's a pleasure, and I'm humbled to be here.
Absolutely. Before I jump into Sherry's first question, this whole process of going out and on these tours and stuff like that, you're used to being on the sideline, right? More than being the center of attention.
I am. This is a totally new reality for me. I spent 45 years in politics supporting candidates from Hillary Clinton to Chuck Schumer to school board candidates in my community, and then my son, Emmanuel. So I learn in politics that when you're talking to the camera, your candidate did something terribly wrong, and you are cleaning up. And here I am on a book tour talking about me. Nothing can be further from what I have done all my life, that spent every waking moment talking about me.
Wow. And you are a super interesting guy. You are, well, the Puerto Rican political strategist, you're a philanthropist, you're an advocacy consultant, and your dad to Hamilton's creator, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes, I am all of that, and I am proud of every single one of those roles and titles that I have. Probably the one that I'm the proudest is being the dad to Emmanuel, my daughter Luz, and my little kid Miguel. When I started with Richard Wolff, my collaborator in writing this book, talking about what we thought was going to be a political memoir, we quickly realized that my family became a protagonist in the book, because I have done with them everything that I have accomplished. So I describe in Relentless, the book, how, you know, we were always an engaged family, using our human capital to fight for issues, candidates, institutions. And with Emmanuel becoming the person he has become, all of a sudden we have this huge microphone to be able to do so much more for the same causes, issues, and candidates that we have supported through life.
Absolutely. And, you know, in this process of putting this book together, I think I always talk about when someone writes a memoir, they have to go back to stories that are not the greatest stories. Also, it's not this highlight of superstardom. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of anguish in a life to get to where we are. And when we have to kind of go back in history of our lives, it's therapeutic, but also painful at the same time.
It is. You know, when you read Relentless, you realize that I really came to New York to do a degree, a PhD in clinical psychology, and go back to Puerto Rico. And I painfully realized after I finished all my coursework and doing my dissertation and all of that, that I was not a good clinical psychologist. That what my professor said, that I tried to push the therapeutic relationship, and that I wanted patients to move faster than that they could, and sort of realize a kid in his 20s with a family that, okay, this is not what I'm going to be. So what am I going to be? And then spent the next 10 years, if you look at my resume and you read Relentless, it was like a potpourri of things that I did for an entire family, for an entire decade as I was raising my family, because I needed to now find my new quest, something that I was passionate about, to then dedicate the rest of my life. And it takes a lot of introspection and empathy to go through that process and be honest and transparent with yourself.
Absolutely. And what did you, as you're writing your book, you know, working with authors, there's always some, you know, challenges that pop up. What do you think your biggest challenge was in writing this book?
My biggest challenge is that I have opinions about everything. And many times they're not the most popular opinions. A long time ago, being a political consultant, people will tell me, why do you run for office? And I always said, I may be able to get elected, but I don't know I can get reelected because I'm going to speak my mind. And so in writing, being honest about a lot of people who are alive. So it is always tough when you're calling a big political figure in my town, New York, an asshole, because that will be there forever. So it was making those decisions. That was tough.
Yeah, definitely, because you're going back, right, Sherry? You're going back and saying, what's going to happen? It's very interesting, Luis. I interviewed somebody else this week. I'm not going to name drop them because I'm not a name dropper. But if you listen to my podcast on a regular basis or subscribe, you're going to find out, a radio show, you're going to find out. I interviewed somebody and then it ended up everything on page 6 once that book came out. And all the social media is talking about it all the time. So if you mention somebody in your memoir that you didn't look kindly upon, you're going to deal with the flack or the buzz, which way you like can rate it, right?
Absolutely. I think I got great advice from my son, who has spent now 15 years on the limelight since In the Heights. And when he read the first copy of Relentless, his advice was very basic. He said, Dad, whatever you say, you have to be able to stand by it because it's going to be there forever. You're going to have to feel comfortable answering questions about it because you brought it up. No one asked you about it. You brought it up and you told the world, just like some governor who will not be spoken about said she killed her dog.
Go ahead, Sherry. What question have you for Luis?
And I totally agree with you on that. And I tell authors, like, you know, do watch your words. I mean, you can give your opinion, but just remember that those words are in there forever and forever and forever. Amen. And there you go. Now, your book, Relentless, the subtitle is My Story of the Latino Spirit That is Transforming America, which, by the way, was written by your son. Ford was written by your son, right? Daniel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and yes. It came out May 7th.
It did, just a couple of days ago. And the big last name for the title, Beyond Relentless, it's because the book, it's about this family that has a political consultant that has a big name in Lin-Manuel Miranda that is involved in all of these issues that are affecting Latino communities. But at the end of the day, even though we may have a Lin-Manuel in our family, we are not different from Latino blended families, now 65 million of us in this country, who came to work hard, to graduate the first kid from college, to work hard and save some money to move to that community that was their dream community to be in. And so we may have a famous son, but we are no different, still living in the same little house that we purchased 42 years ago, where we raised our children.
That's amazing.
Wow. All right. That's amazing. Again, it's about staying humble in your success. And when you talk about relentless, Luis, that's everyone needs to be relentless in their lives to make a difference in the world. And if we don't stay relentless, and I think that's what you really want in this people in this book to want to learn, is that if we don't stay relentless, we are not going to be able to make that mark in America and in the world.
I agree with your premise. I think I talked in the book, Emmanuel, in the preface of Relentless, talk about how I actually wrote three books in one. One, the story. One, the development of Latinidad, of a Latin identity. And third, politics, Latino politics. But you're right. We have to make sure, and it's sort of the thesis of Relentless, that you stay true to yourself, that you take care of yourself, because that's what's going to allow you to be part of a family that it's healthy, and that family is going to be part and an agent in having healthy communities that in turn makes a healthy country. And 65 million of Latinos, 40% of the population in 2040, is going to transform this country. So, you know, my message to anyone that is listening, if you have a Latino neighbor and you don't know him or her, just go and knock at their door. You'll see we're fantastic.
I know, Luis. I've lived it. I understand from friends of mine and colleagues. I appreciate it, Luis. And we're really going to, it's going to be an exciting time. Thanks for stopping by. Purchase your book, Relentless, in all finer bookstores. Thanks again, Luis.
Thanks, Luis.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. And we'll be back in just a moment.